my new friend.
It's time to get in the zone.
Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by 10 Tavern. Fashion furniture across from River Park. Helena Agra Enterprises, LLC. And by Blast and Brew.
Hung on at the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and it is. Get out the rye bread and the mustard this time, Grandma. It is a grand salami.
It's Friday and you're in the zone from 10 Tavern. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man!
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, happy 5th of July. I hope everyone had a great, safe 4th of July. There was a lot of fires out there, Big Cat, but let's hope everyone's okay.
Hey, man, I'll tell you what. I was walking the neighborhood like I always do. With my two Doberman pitchers and my pit bull, and about 10:30, 11 o'clock, I'm always out, no matter if it's 4th of July or any other evening. And, man, I'll tell you what, if you want to say the word illegal fireworks, there was plenty of – I liked it, though. There was helicopters. It was so much action out there. Even my two Doberman pitchers were staring up at the sky. And by the way, I do have cameras at my house, too. So I was just staring up there watching all this wonderful fireworks going off in tags. I'll tell you what, I didn't have to pay a dime when I got a heck of a show.
Well, let's hope everyone's puppies and dogs out there were okay, because it's not a great day for dogs when if you feel like you're in Desert Storm or something out there with all those illegal fireworks.
No, those small dogs have a tendency to kind of run a little bit from there. But my trained dogs are usually trained to go through the gunshots and all the other things that are out there, but also to chase people that might be utilizing or making the noise itself.
That's what you're going with? We're live here at 10 Tavern. This is my new favorite place, by the way. I love the food here. The service is outstanding. 10 Tavern on the corner of Willow and Nice. Amy Bo Peep takes care of us, Pag Meter Pasta, the Rigatoni's Classic. This is awesome place, the great atmosphere, and have you figured out a favorite yet?
Oh, I'm staring at this, and I was talking at our good friend from Helena, which we love so much because they do so much for our program here. And he's a burger guy.
Well, who is he?
Well, his name's Andy Lowe.
Yes,
you know,
okay.
Everybody knows Andy Lowe by now.
Of course.
I mean, we talk about him every week,
yeah.
And people are probably, who is this Andy Lowe guy? Well, Andy Lowe's the guy that sat on the bench at San Joaquin Memorial and played baseball there, Nick. And most people remember Andy, who probably was around back in the 80s. Anyhow, Tavern Burger, and I know this is right up your alley, Nick, because you're a burger kind of guy.
I haven't had it yet.
You haven't had it, but everything I've been told about it, because I haven't had it yet, is...
Giddy up.
That's right. And
yeah,
I think Matty J would go with the Tavern Burger, too, if he was here right now.
He will, really would. It's and anything on here, the menu is... really off the charts. The full-on bar. They're going to have the reception room soon. We can't talk about it yet, but it's coming. This place is going to be the hottest place in town. Get out here. Come out, hang out with us. You know, there's a lot of shows right now. They're doing the best ofs. No. Well, we don't have any best ofs tapes yet. That's not what we're about. We're live here. We don't take days off here on the Zone Show.
Yep, no days off. We're live. We're outside the studio. We're out in front of the public, and it's been fun. We've met so many wonderful people since we've reached out, and we've been fortunate to do this show at certain establishments. That boy, I'll tell you, it's been all the way from, you know, down south into the Shaw area, all the way up north into the northern area, and we'll continue to look for and promote the show in different parts of the county. And we're going to keep talking about that local sports that is kind of the forgotten part of sports in Fresno these days, Nick. So being talking about the high school sports, and that's what we promote here on this show as much as we can. And one thing we do a lot of is we just don't talk about the common schools, which we've been accused of from time to time. We do have a guy by the name of the Pag Meter who spends a lot of time outside of Fresno, Kerman, Carruthers, those areas, Minarets, those type of schools that have reached out. And you've had wonderful experiences being able to get out and reach out into some of those communities, Nick.
They don't get enough love, Nick, and this is what we want to do. There's only two shows that really do local sports the best. It's the Rye Show and, of course, the Zone. We get out there. We got to give more love to the Central Coast and football coming up. Don't worry, Central Coast, Paso Robles, and Rio Grande and San Luis Obispo and all you teams out there, I'm gonna give you plenty of love out there. So don't worry about that. Also, Bakersfield loves this show. So I get a lot of emails as well. Hey, don't forget about Bakersfield. Heck no. You guys are the real deal. And we talk football, and we talked a little bit yesterday about it, but high school football is really off the charts. There's better and better athletes all the time. Boys basketball's now starting to really boom for the first time maybe in a million years that we could say we can compete. Girls basketball, Nick, can you help me out? Is it down a little bit? It feels like it's down a little bit.
Well, I mean, I haven't watched a lot of girls basketball in the last couple of years. I've watched more college women's basketball lately. But from what I can tell, just by the talent level that I've, you know, reached out there, it just are seen and talked to different people. And I remember, you know, 8 years ago, maybe somewhere around that time, we had a lot of, you know, post players that were really, really tall, some dynamic guards that were phenomenal, fundamentally sound, very athletic. The athleticism was beyond the charts. I don't see a lot of that right now. And talking to different coaches, Division I, Division II, NAIA coaches, if you look, they're recruiting kids that maybe weren't as talented as some of those kids that they recruited 5-6 years ago. Now, is that the case everywhere? Possibly not. But I get around the country. I talk to a lot of people. Fortunately, I've been able to do that, and that's what I'm hearing on the street. So to answer your question, long answer for that, but I would say yes. I'd say the talent is down. Just from what I can see out there, and also the scholarships that are being given to certain, it seems like those players might be players. Not digging on anybody in particular or anything like that. Just talking purely about the system. We've got some kids that probably would have played D2 or NAIA, which there's nothing wrong with that. You know, 5-6 years ago, and today there's Division I scholarships that are being awarded. In some cases, that I feel like the talent is not quite at that par.
And we're talking high school. College is still okay, or is that still down?
Well, it all flows, right?
Okay.
So you're talking about if it's down in here, then, you know, maybe that Pac-12 athlete, you know, 3-5 years ago is now the Mountain West athlete, for example. Those type of things is what I'm saying. We're seeing some of those lower schools. I'd say lower division, Division I, you know, mid-major kind of a thing. A lot. You see transfers. You see that transfer portal that's out there. A lot of kids that are in that mid D1, they're transferring to higher schools, like going to Cal. You know, there's things like from San Diego State to Cal, for example. There's a kid down there that's done that recently. So they've had success at that level, and they're able to get the next nod at a bigger school that plays in a bigger conference. I don't think that would be the case 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Let's talk about, too, on the girls' basketball side. We're starting to become like a Colin Cowherd show. Colin Cowherd does the majority of basketball, and you're a basketball guy, and I like that. But two former Clovis West girls basketball players I got to ask you about. Number one, Maddie Campbell, my Pagnetta Player of the Year. And then Bree Sanders,
uh-huh,
who's playing at Arizona State. Maddie Campbell's going to USC. How do you think, if Bree Sanders, who Arizona State's got some super talented players, if she was in the Mountain West, would it be a different story? Or is she going to get more playing time? I always wonder about that. She's not the greatest outside shooter role, but she bangs on the inside. She's a rebounder. What do you see? Let's start with Bree Sanders.
Well, I think Bree, for one, is probably, I would call her an athlete. She's an athlete. She's kind of like a safety, in my opinion. She's able to, you know, most safeties that play football are probably the best athlete on the field. They're most athletic, generally they're quickest, they're smarter. Especially free safeties, those kind of guys that have to be behind there and watch what's going on and be able to react to it. So she kind of fits that mold. When she played for Clovis West, that's what she brought to the table. She was able to pick passes off on that press that they run there. So I think she was recruited and to move into different positions. Bree played a lot of posts when she was playing for Clovis West, but being the athlete that she is, she definitely was one of those people that, hey, I'm going to get her, and then I'm going to try to mold her into a wing or a different position. And just her pure athleticism, that was already there. Now it's just a matter of getting her focused on learning different positions. What would that mean if she played at the Mountain West level? But, I think that, you know, any kid, you know, Arizona State's a very good basketball program. I mean, they've got a great basketball coach, so every year they're going to recruit the best. And if you want to be a part of that, then that's what you want to be a part of in some cases. So Could she play, Josh? She'd probably play more at Mountain West, but I still think she's got a lot of opportunities at Arizona State because I love her. She's a great kid. For one, she's got a great personality, and she's able to get along with people. So she's one of those kind of kids that kind of links teams together and builds the chemistry that sometimes gets in between things and causes more problems than good. So I think she could have a breakout year this year. I've got, you know, support for her, and hopefully she can grab it. She's got 2 years left at Arizona State, so she's still young. So I think there's opportunity there for sure.
Okay, Maddie Campbell, who's my player of the year at Clovis West, phenom three-point shooter. Now, she's going to be playing for USC, where that's another great school. They get super talent. She's not the greatest athlete in the world. She can't create her own shot. How do you see her going to USC now, playing in the Pac-12?
Well, I mean, that's a Pac-12 conference is a big deal, right? I mean, it has been in the past. Again, I haven't followed the Pac-12 as much. I see what I see in the Mountain West because my kid plays in the Mountain West. So I see what the point guards do. I see what the bigs can do. Pac-12 is a different step. They're going to get all the big, even though the talent might be down and maybe there's not as many of these bigs that are out there, they're still going to get all those bigs, right? They're going to have that big 6'3", 6'4", or more in the paint, which you commonly don't see in women's basketball. Your guards are going to be much quicker. The defense is going to be, so I always say, you can shoot the ball like my kids. My kids could always be better on defense. My kids weren't the quickest players out there, so they'd have to work real hard to try to develop their defense. That's going to be the big key for a guard at that level, is how well can you defend. It's not, she can shoot the basketball, there's no question. She's got a good shot. You say create a shot, they're going to help her create her shot. They're going to set screens. They're going to run an offense to try to get, they want her to get the shot off. It's like Cole, my son. I mean, at some point they're going to guard you, they're going to face guard you to death, and you're going to have to figure out how to get open, and whether it be running around like crazy like a Steph Curry or those back screens, things like that. So they're going to take care of that. The question is, can she defend at that level, Nick? That's going to be the one. The defense is generally the part that most coaches will take a look at to see how much can you do up at this level. And that goes anywhere. I don't care if it's lower D1, mid D1, or whatever. It's always coming down to defense.
No question about it. Look like right now with the NBA, the big story, Kawhi Leonard, where's he going to go? Is he going to be a Laker, Clippers? Is he going to stay home? But to me right now, the NBA is more popular, more exciting than the regular season of the NBA. Because this is the one everyone's looking at.
Soap opera.
It's a soap opera. What do you think is Kawhi Leonard? Is he a Laker?
I think the question with him is, I've kind of gotten off the information deal because I just got tired of hearing about the same story. And you get a lot of talking heads that are out there, Nick, that I think are, it's like politics. Do you believe everything you hear? Half the stuff you hear, these guys, these players aren't even talking about it. My son plays for an NBA guy, or former NBA guy that, I talk to occasionally, and we just catch up. He runs an AAU team. Yeah, just talking to him, and he reads it, or he lives it every day. He knows those guys that are out there, and half of these guys in the media, back east and these Twitter guys or whatever you want to call them, they're just spreading rumors and doing this, doing that. I think if he was going to go to the Lakers, I think he would already have made up his mind by now, honestly. I don't know why he would leave Toronto. He's got a good group of people up there. He's won. People talk about, L.A. is his home. That's not his home. I mean, that comes out. That's not nothing new. Everybody knows that he's from San Diego area. And that's just who he is. If anything at all, why would he be playing? He could play for the Clippers, too. I don't know why it would be the Lakers. But anyway, I think he stays in Toronto.
Well, they're going to give him a 5-year contract, where the Lakers and Clippers will give him a 4. That's pretty big.
That's big. I mean, either way, he's gonna show up and he's gonna be that player. But he's already had the success in Toronto. That's his team. That is his team. You go play for the Lakers. Why do you want to go play
that's
with
LeBron? Team.
Why do you want to play with that guy? Kyrie Irving has already proved that that's not a place where he wants to play with. Other players that play with LeBron have openly said it's just not fun playing with LeBron. It all looks fun and dandy, even if they win a championship. But those guys ultimately are all competitors. They play at a high level. They want to play. They want to have fun. And for whatever reason, that chemistry always seems to be there that follows LeBron around.
I totally agree with that.
Do you?
We never agree in anything.
Wow.
I totally agree.
Hey, can you write that down?
Yeah, because I think it's all about LeBron. And I don't know anymore in the NBA. You have to have a Golden State Warrior kind of team where everyone can score, everyone can be a part of it. if it's LeBron time, I don't know if anyone wants to be on that. Okay, 31 seconds to go. I've got to, yeah, Andy Lowe's all over it. I got it. I agree. It's my time to shoot, okay? And I don't know if people want to be on that kind of team where it's my turn to shoot. I'm LeBron. That's who I am. I don't know. I think that dominating player anymore might not be the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's is there a dominating player? Did Toronto have a dominating player? They won the championship. Did they have a player that was like the guy that says, I'm the guy?
No.
No, they didn't, did they?
Neither did the Warriors.
Okay, so there you go. There's two teams. But Cleveland, when LeBron played for Cleveland, they did win a championship with him, right?
That was exactly. But I think those days are over. I mean, he was younger then. I think he's getting a little older in his age. And I don't. You're right. I think you nailed it. I don't know if they want to play for him anymore.
So the other question is, why does Durant go to the Nets?
Because I think the Knicks are a mess.
So the Nets in the past have always been like the doormat, right?
Yeah, they're like the Clippers.
So you get both Kyrie and Durant, and this is nothing new. All you guys listening right now, this is if you guys spend any time listening to sports, you can't get away from this. So I'm just repeating a lot of things that you've already heard. But, man, so Durant's not going to play at all next year. I don't know if you've ever had an Achilles problem before, but I haven't. But I've only been told
by... Yeah, he's going to redshirt this year.
Yeah, and maybe who knows what happens to him beyond that.
Yeah, because if you've seen his legs, I mentioned they're as skinny as a three wood. Okay, if you go play golf, his legs are tiny for, you know, a seven-foot guy. He's very, very tiny.
Yeah, he's not going to be a Dirk Nowitzki and be able to spot up and do that set shot. He is 6'10 or whatever he is, but... That's going to be interesting to see, I guess, is when he does come back. And in today's world, medically and all the things that are out there that, you know, that can help these athletes get back on the floor or field or whatever they're working, they're playing quicker, it's going to happen, if at all. And so, you know, but his injury, at least 12 months. Klay Thompson, for example, it's you know, 6 months minimum. But getting back to Durant, and we're going to take a break here in a minute, but if you look at Durant's going to be completely gone, and everybody's talked about this past week, is what happens if Kyrie shows up for a full year and he builds that team up and it becomes his team? Is Durant going to like that, or is he going to get mad because that's his team now? And is Durant want to be that dominating player that we just talked about? That's why he's leaving the Warriors, is because he wants his. He doesn't want to be a play with Steph Curry. He doesn't want to play with Klay Thompson, even though they might be friends, he wants to try to build something from scratch. And I think that's what they're trying to do in New York.
Great example why the NBA is more popular right now. Soap opera time.
Yeah.
We're going to talk with Eric Solberg at 5 o'clock, the head coach of the soccer team in Fresno City, also the baseball coach. And you got some friends of Modesto Christian we're going to talk with.
Because we're such a mighty blowtorch, we reach out to different areas, and today we're going to talk to one of the Northern California locations, I'm thinking about Helena. We'll talk about Helena in a few minutes, but we're going to talk to the head coach, Modesto Christian, who's also an AAU coach, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on this summer with his basketball team as well as just AAU in general, and I'm looking forward to having Bryce Fantasia on about around 4:30 or so.
Come on down, hang out with us at 10 Tavern, brought to you by Helena Agro Enterprises, LLC. We'll come back and maybe have a little Minarets surprise for you.
I'd love to talk Minarets.
We'll be right back, 940 ESPN.
Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Blast and Broom, fashion furniture across from River Park, Helena Agra Enterprises, and 10 Tavern with the Pack Meter and Big Cat Nick Anderson on 940 ESPN.
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, here live at 10 Tavern on the corner of Willow and Nice, the big sign out front. Come on in and hang out with us. July the 5th. Let's talk about July 4th. Was it a great day? Did you hang out? We got a great menu, the happy hour menu.
Well, I'm looking at this thing. So everybody, you know, we're at 10 Tavern, as Nick suggests. I'm sorry, the Pag Meter, also known as, a.k.a. 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. today. If you're not down here at happy hour, I'm talking fries, hummus, hot wings, ribs, Caprese salad for those of you that are looking for that type of food. And all you other people that are looking for that other perfect type of food, the tavern burger off the charts, a shrimp cocktail, and of course, you want to wash all that down with a beverage of choice. Come on down to 10 Tavern, 3 to 6, Tuesday through Friday for a super-duper happy hour.
This is officially now my favorite place. So I just want to let everyone know, 10 Tavern, thanks to Matt and Amy, they're making me fall in love with this place. I love it. I'm here once a week bringing the family. In fact, Gianna's in town. She might stop by a little later. Come on down to 10 Tavern. I also want to talk about Helena Agri Enterprises LLC because the weather's actually pretty nice. Anytime under 100 in July, I'm loving it.
Hey, this is like coastal stuff. Not quite coastal, but I'm thinking Paso or something like that maybe where last night, you know, with the fireworks, like I was mentioning, walking my Doberman Pinschers and my pit bull, you know, everybody was happy. It was starting to cool down. You can open those windows up in the evening, Nick, and it's always nice to have those windows open. When those windows are closed, that AC unit starts to get old after a while, doesn't it?
So true, so true. And when you say Doberman Pinscher, you pretty much mean a Cocker Spaniel, right? So let's just throw it out there.
Let's just do that.
Yeah, because come on, if you know Nick, whenever he says double it the other way, we're going to talk with Eric Solberg at 5 o'clock or a little bit after 5, but now we got a special guest from Modesto Christian High School.
Bryce. Is my man Bryce, you out there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
What's up, brother?
Not much. How you guys doing? Have a good fourth.
Everybody had a good fourth. Always good to have fourth. Spending time eating hot dogs and hamburgers and anything else you can get your hands on, if you know what I mean. So, it was good. Hopefully you had a good time with family up in Modesto. We're talking to Bryce Fantasia from Modesto Christian High School. And, Bryce, we were talking earlier. We're trying to reach out a little bit beyond the area, and the station gets close enough to where you are. I think you guys can tune in up that way, and it's always good to get perspective from outsiders in terms of our local market here. We sometimes get caught up on the local high schools, Nick, and Bryce being able to have a pretty good play of what goes on. I mean, Modesto Christian High School, if you think about on the basketball side and even on football and other sports there, but specifically basketball, they've had a really good run last year in the playoffs, and wanted to get your opinion, Bryce. It's kind of early, I know, man, but I know you've been busy doing other things besides worrying about Modesto Christian. But with this weird, this crazy summer that we're experiencing this year for the first time with live periods, AAU, of course, is a lot different than it has been in the past. And you've been able to do both. You're coaching AAU basketball, but at the same time, you're also spending time with your high school. So that pretty much fills up your summer for the most part, and a lot of people don't realize how much time basketball coaches put into their sport beyond just what you normally would see in a winter sport period.
Yeah, I mean, it is time consuming, definitely. My wife knows, because she tells me all the time how much time I'm away, and you know, obviously I love the game. Basketball's been great for me, so, you know, just try to give back to the kids and, you know, help the future.
So how's Northern California looking this year with that? I mean, there's a lot of stuff moving chairs. You know, it's probably going to show up one day or the next. You don't know what's going to happen. But in terms of what you do know about the Northern California area, how are you looking for next year? Who do you think the teams to beat are next year besides yourself? Because we know you're going to show up. You guys always do.
I mean, we definitely hope we're in the picture. We plan on being in the open division, but definitely the team to beat is Sheldon until somebody knocks them off. They beat us last year in the NorCal championship. But, you know, NorCal's definitely, you know, wide open, you know, especially with a lot of the Fresno schools being in the north now for playoffs. You know, you add the talent there to the Bay Area, Sacramento areas, and, you know, it's definitely going to be competitive. Quite a few schools. It's probably as wide open this year as it has been in a few years.
Does that make you, because some of these schools are playing, the Fresno schools are playing up north, some of them aren't, it depends on what they do and where they get positioned, but how does that work for you in terms of, you know, trying to plan? I mean, you've got to start paying more attention to the schools down south, even though you may eventually met up with them in the past. But today, you're going to see them a lot sooner. So that means that you might need to get out and play in some tournaments that are outside your area. And you guys already do that. I know you come down and play in Clovis West. And in the summer, you see some of these teams as well and some of these tournaments. But does that change up a lot of your the coaching side of it, Bryce, on how you plan?
I mean, it does, definitely. You know, a few years ago when you knew the Fresno schools were in the south, you really weren't as concerned with, you know, running into one of them in a preseason tournament or something. But now, you know, I mean, you know, if we play a Clovis West or Memorial or someone like that, it just becomes much more important in season because now, you know, you got seedings involved, stuff like that, you know, when they're looking at head-to-head. And, you know, definitely got to be more ready for the dribble drive now. You know, dribble drive offense, a lot of high schools in Fresno area, Clovis area run it. So come playoff time, you know, you got to be a little more prepared for that.
That's a great question, Bryce. This is the Pag Meter here. Two questions for you. The first, the dribble drive. I hear colleges say, well, you know, you're a dribble drive guy. It's going to be tough to go at the next level because a lot of teams aren't doing that. That's one question. The other one is, around here, people really complain about Memorial not playing in the Division One, and they are going to be soon. How do you guys handle Modesto Christian? Because you guys recruit all over the state, sometimes out of the state. How do you guys handle that when other schools you play in league play aren't doing that?
Well, I mean, we don't recruit. It is attracting. We've been good for 20 years. You know, ever since Coach Porter won a state championship in 1996. And to be honest, my job is easy. You know, we have kids that want to come to Modesto Christian. Year after year, we do get transfers. You know, and the top programs in the state do. Obviously, you know, a lot of the schools don't really do it, you know, like a Modern Day, Sierra Canyon, those schools down south. But, you know, in NorCal, there's not as many dominant programs. So the top kids, you know, when they move to an area or, you know, are looking for a certain program, that's where they're going to go. They're going to pick one of those top schools. And, you know, it's, you know, I kind of take the recruiting thing, you know, a little personal because, like, you know, my wife, I'm not doing home visits. I'm not talking to these kids. I'm not begging kids to come to my school or anything like that. But, I mean, it definitely is, you know, it's kind of an arms race. You know, you do, you know, especially the teams up north, you look at what the teams down south do, and it's like, you know, when you have full starting lineups that are full of transfers, it does kind of, you know, make you wonder, like, man, you know, what do we need to do to keep up with that? And for us, we just try to stay in the gym year-round, you know, work harder than everyone, and, you know, hope it pays off.
Hey, Bryce, it's Nick again. As far as preparing, I mean, you can't always count on, I mean, those transfers. You never know who's going to show up, but you try to build within, and you just hope that it's going to attract what you're looking for, and they're going to show up. And when they show up, they're there. And that can kind of tell you, a lot of people will talk about feeder programs in terms of, like, you know, the Clovis schools have little hoopsters and things that they build in from elementary schools up, and they do all that. You don't have that at Modesto Christian, right? You don't have that feeder opportunity, maybe a little bit, but not necessarily a lot to where it's going to make that much impact on your program. So the enrollment at Modesto Christian is what is it, 500?
160.
How off I am. So 160 kids. So to build the academic side, which we all know Modesto Christian is a high academic school, it's a good place, it's small, it's got class size. That's what I think is attractive to a lot of families today, Nick, is getting their kids in a spot where they can flourish in basketball or any sport that they happen to be, but also have the ability to academically qualify to go on to that school. And I'm not saying that other schools can't do that as well, but there are, you know, times where you do need that extra care, and I think that's probably a big factor for you up there, Bryce.
It is. I mean, there's definitely negatives and positives to, you know, having a small enrollment. You know, our class sizes are smaller. You know, I know every single one of my players. If they miss an assignment, I find out about it right away. You know, and there's also negatives. We don't have the built-in, you know, 15 players on the freshman team, JV, varsity. We don't have, you know, I don't know what my incoming 8th grade class, 7th grade class looks like, you know, like some of the schools with feeder programs. So, you know, I think a lot of schools have negatives and positives. You know, I mean, obviously I know all about the private school, public school discussion with everything. You know, I mean, I kind of take it personal. I went to a public school, then transferred to Modesto Christian, won a state championship in high school. I wasn't recruited, anything like that. You know, I just know what it's done for me. And so I kind of take that conversation a little too hard when people talk about the publics and the privates, because trust me, there's just as many publics that, you know, are actively recruiting, using fake addresses, stuff like that. And there's a lot of privates that get accused of stuff that aren't doing anything. So that's kind of where I stand with that.
Oh, we're talking with Bryce, who coaches out of Modesto Christian. Up in Modesto Christian High School basketball. No, let's make no mistake about it. Everybody recruits. They do it in their own little way. It could be sitting at a baseball game, basketball gym. Hey, we're pretty good. You got to look at coming over here. I don't think anyone's going in anyone's living rooms like a college recruiter. So we're not talking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's out there. So there's no need to hide from it. I mean, public, private, and the way we are around here, if you have a full family move, you are in. That's just, you know, if not, you're going to sit out 30 days. It is what it is. And if you got a small school, I get it. But if you have 160 LeBron James, then that's the problem. I mean, that's where, you know, everyone looks at. So I get it. The smaller, but you still, all you need is five superstars on the court. And you do a great job.
Without a doubt. It's much easier in basketball. You know, enrollment, it doesn't matter as much in basketball as it does football or baseball. I do agree with that.
Well, so are you getting the same chats about in the Modesto area like we are around here, that some of the private schools maybe get them in their own little league because the public schools don't want to play them? Are you going through that route as well?
I mean, to be honest, you know, we get a lot of people that, you know, kind of talk about us out here, but we also get a lot of people that kind of understand how we work and you know, kind of respect us. And for me, I'm all about whether it's public or private. I want to be in the best league possible. You know, if they could make a super league for basketball, and, you know, even if it was majority private and you just threw a couple of top clubs, I would be all for it. I want to play the best, and I think the best team should be playing the best. I think you should be playing in the highest division possible. And, you know, obviously enrollment-wise, we're Division Five. We play Division One in open. If they gave me the choice to drop down to Division Five, I would refuse it. So.
Yeah, so that's a school, Nick. It's got less than 200 kids, and they're playing at the highest level possible, right? It goes back to what we were talking about before with some schools that don't shy away from that for some crazy reason. Bryce, I want to switch gears on you a little bit and move into this summer itself and the new rules and all the things that coaches are having to get their arms around. And I'm sure there's been, you know, you're being as involved as you are and kind of juggling, you know, AAU and your own high school team and trying to get your kids figured out and exposed to, you know, the live period. And how do you get your high school team, you know, exposed versus the AAU teams, which get around and do the live period, which has been reduced now? How hard has that been this past summer to get all that figured out? Or do you feel like you were prepared going into the summer to where you're able to get your kids in front of these coaches, both on the Modesto Christian side and also on the AAU side that you coach as well?
I mean, it's a little different this summer just because a lot of people didn't know what to expect with the shortened, you know, events and stuff like that. I mean, I just try to keep my kids in the gym. You know, in the summertime, we don't kind of run our offense. We don't kind of work out. We kind of do all individual skill work. You know, it's really not about winning games in the summertime for us. I just want my guys, you know, to improve individually as best possible. That way, when they all go to their different AAU teams and play at the different events, you know, that they're ready. And, you know, I mean, this summer has been weird. You know, it's like academies or camps in Arizona, Washington, that your kids have to register for. The high school coach can't be involved, and he can be involved. So it has been a little bit of an adjustment with that.
Yeah, so there's been some kids, what you're saying, if they're not aware of some of these events that are going on, and for them to try to get on the list or go and qualify or get recommended, or however you want to put it, they miss the boat, they miss the deadline, they're out. They have no chance of going, correct?
Yes, I have two 2020 kids, incoming seniors, with Division One offers that will not be at the live period in Arizona just because their parents didn't know about it. We were told the AAU programs were supposed to, you know, nominate the kids, this and that. I wasn't allowed to nominate them. You know, and it's not going to really hurt them, but, you know, it definitely could have helped them.
Right. So if you look at that and you say, okay, well, we're going to learn. Okay, this is going to be the year, you know, inaugural year, I guess you call it, for some of those type of events, and then it'll get sorted out. You know, we hope maybe there'll be some more changes next year, but more than likely things will probably continue on like we just experienced this summer. But putting your kids in a spot to where they're still noticed, I mean, you know, you can do tournaments, and there's a tournament every weekend anywhere. You can play any tournament. There seems to be a tournament,
yeah.
AAU basketball tournament anywhere every day, it seems like. But how important are, you know, team camps and getting your kids, and as a coach, do you like going to the tournaments, or do you like to maybe get some of these team camps to where you can expose some of your kids to certain programs that are out there, to where, you know, hey, that program probably fits a lot of my kids, so I'm gonna place my team in that team camp, to where you're playing against other schools, but at the same time you're able to get in front of some of these coaches from this school that you're at, and be able to kind of, they can kind of evaluate your kids a little bit. I think that's a great opportunity for kids to showcase talent, and that's a good way to go about it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I always try to, you know, if there's two different tournaments, you know, one is at a college, another one's at a, you know, just a local gym or whatever, I'm always going to go to the college one, just put my kids in front of the college coaches. You know, I always try to have my younger kids get experience playing the best teams, so I always want to play the best. And, you know, we were just in Arizona for the live period, the high school live period, you know, the first time ever where they allowed the high schools, the kids to play with the high schools in front of the college coaches. And it was a great event. You know, a lot of the top teams on the West Coast were there, and, you know, it was a big-time opportunity for our guys to get seen.
Hey, Bryce, before we let you go, one last question. And we have the state champion from Foothill Trojan, Jaden Phillips, is transferring to play with you guys. Will he be eligible right away?
I believe so. I'm not sure. He moved to Tracy, or is in the process of moving to Tracy. You know, so obviously that's my athletic director handling all the paperwork. I don't have anything to do with any of that. So, yeah, we'll see, you know, whether he's, you know, eligible or not. You know, we'll continue to move on and do what we do.
All right, Bryce. Well, thanks for joining us today. Happy, have a great weekend, and we'll have to catch up with you again during basketball season.
Definitely. Thank you, guys.
See you, Bryce.
Okay, let's take a break. We got a lot to talk about. Of course, you can call Russ in the studio, 844-940-ESPN. If you have any questions on anything we're talking about, we'd love to hear from you. Don't go in there. We'll be right back live from 10 Tavern. This is The Zone.
On 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
You're in The Zone. Sponsored by Blast & Brew, fashion furniture across from River Park, Helena Agra Enterprises, and 10 Tavern with the Pag Meter and Big Cat Nick Anderson on 940 ESPN.
You
are in The Zone.
On a Friday afternoon, July the 5th, hope everyone had a beautiful 4th of July sitting outside. It was a beautiful night. 10 Tavern here, it's a beautiful afternoon. If you haven't been to 10 Tavern, you're going, Pag Meter, where's that at? We're on the corner, literally on the corner of Willow and Nice. You see the big ESPN Zone sign right underneath the clock.
That'd be
right?
The southeast corner, Nick.
Okay, for you smart guys, that's the southeast corner. The full-on bar, they got great food here. Pag Meter, pasta, I recommend, it's the best.
I've had nothing here that I've said, man, I don't like that. I mean, even the shrimp and everything that's beyond even the happy hour menu. They've been a wonderful job, and there's some surprises that are down the path here that's going to happen here soon enough, and as soon as that surprise is real, we will mention that, but there's more to come at 10 Tavern that's not too far off in the future, so stay tuned on that.
So what you're saying is stay tuned on that.
Yes, sir.
So
on that, because that, I can't say what that is, so okay. That.
So a lot of the ladies like salads. I know you're a salad guy. I'm not calling you a lady. Yeah. How are the salads here?
Wonderful. I mean, what are you referring to?
You like salads. You're a salad guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah.
I wish I ate some. My wife right now is listening. He goes, why don't you eat more salads? Okay.
Well, she's probably right.
Yeah.
If you've married to Lori, I would hope that you probably want to make sure you stay in good shape. So here's the deal. On this Caprese salad, if you like salads, that's kind of I would call that a summer salad. I'm not sure how you are about summer salads. We're talking about fresh tomatoes in the valley this time of year are wonderful. So you get those ripe tomatoes along with some other things that you can add to that, oregano, and for those of you that like that, it's a wonderful. And don't forget that Mott's. It's just wonderful salad. That's a meal on its own.
But I want to make sure people realize this is, when we say 10 Tavern, it's got a full-on bar. This is not a bar. This is a beautiful, elegant place where you can enjoy one of your best meals of the year.
Look who's here. I mean, every time we've had our show here, it's been packed.
Yeah.
And before we move on, and we love 10 Tavern, don't forget about Helena. Helena's the other side of the fence on this one, and do a wonderful job for all you growers out there. The weather's been cooperating, and and keeping it down in that 90s range, which is optimal growing temperatures, Nick.
Oh.
And it's helped out immensely on some of the irrigation cycles and things. But, boy, if you want that technology that's out there, Helena has that technology to help you come up with a great fertility program that is site-specific to your ranch.
And you can call them if you're a farmer out there anywhere in the, well, if you're listening to us, 559-261-9030. In fact, Andy Lowe, who just left here, Mr. Minarets, he's got, and I don't know if you have the dates, but he's got some pancake specials for Minarets coming up.
Is
he you have the dates?
No.
Well, Andy better text me then because I want to get, I love the Mustangs. They're purple and gold up there. I love going up to Minarets.
I like the purple. I like the purple. Minarets has been good. I mean, really, you got up there and you called some games up there. They're
building a beautiful stadium.
Stadium. They've got a lot of support from the community.
The gym's awesome.
You got real food at their football games, baseball games. They're dropping meat down there, tri-tips and French fries, and you know they got the fryer up there. And Andy and his wife Jackie are a big part of that. So we love talking about Minarets. They do a wonderful job up there, and it's truly a community supportive and you know facility up, not facility, but the team and the program up there has been supported wonderfully by that small community.
It's a sleeping giant here in the valley, and people are like, oh, where is it? Like 4 hours away. It's 18 minutes from River Park.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what time of day, Nick, but I'll give you the 18. They have buses that come down. Is that recruiting? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, it's not recruiting, because they're recruiting that kid that wants to have that high-end academic feel, and they sure place a lot of kids at some wonderful universities. So if you're looking for a great place to go to school, doesn't matter if you're playing sports or you're doing whatever you want to do, that's a wonderful academic institution up on the hill.
There's a few places, if the PAG meter had to do it over again and I was back in high school, Minarets would be one of them. I like anything in Visalia, because when I go through that Visalia, the freeways there on 198, I feel like I'm back east. There's no
trash
on the side of the road. Beautiful ivy. They got it going on. I don't understand why Fresno can't get like Visalia. We don't have to go back east to see their freeway. Fresno, I don't know why we don't take pride in cleaning our freeways up.
Yeah, I see them cleaning it up. It just doesn't last long, unfortunately. There's a lot of traffic coming up 41 or something. That's a tough zone right there. Every time I go down, it's rough. But I do know what you mean about Visalia. If you head down 198 and into Visalia, and even if you continue on towards Lindsay and Exeter.
I love Exeter. I was just going to say Exeter.
I spent a lot of time. Helena's got a wonderful facility out of Exeter, so I get to Exeter quite a bit. And you get out in those orange groves, and it's green out there year-round, Nick, and it's just got that feel to it down there. So it's been fun to cover some of the schools down there, and that's one great thing about local sports is that we're able to get around. And working for a radio station like 940, we have the ability to reach out with that 50,000-watt blowtorch and get around. So it's good to have you out there doing what you do, but the communities that are out there, to be able to experience the old feel of what communities were like, that's what Exeter and that Lindsay area are like out there.
I love Fowler. I love Kingsburg.
Yep.
I used to live in Madera Ranchos. I would.
Did you?
Yeah, back in the day, I loved out there. So
wow.
I love those. In this year of football, I think I'm going to give more love to the smaller schools because they love us back. Some of the big schools, they look at you like, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're going to broadcast there. Okay, whatever.
We don't have any room for you.
They don't really care. You go out to the small schools, and you feel like you're Bon Jovi or something.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's what we want to do.
Are you Bon Jovi?
No, not even close. But,
okay.
We had Bryce on from Modesto Christian, and I get it. He doesn't want to hear the recruiting, you know, question, but come on.
Oh,
they're a professional high school.
I don't, you know, they do a good job up there. They don't get in trouble up there, Nick, and there's not a whole lot of controversy with what they do. And they also have kids that I know that are on their varsity right now. They're made up of majority of what they have today have come up through their middle school. You know, everything's on one campus up there. A lot of the kids that played eighth grade a year or 2 years ago, they're starting on the varsity now. So they don't have a lot of that. It depends on what year it is, I guess it is. I don't see a lot of it going on up there. He's done a wonderful job coaching. Bryce is a former player from Modesto Christian. State championship, played with Chuck Hayes and coaches AAU basketball. Wonderful individual. I got everything great to say about Bryce and what he's done up at Modesto Christian.
So if you if I'm Bryce and I'm talking to a kid, how many kids go play at the next level if you play at Modesto Christian? Last year, for example, how many are going to play at college?
You know, I don't know the answer to that exactly.
Over and under is three?
Yeah, I mean, right now on the team he's going to have next year, he's probably got kids with offers already and kids that will have offers soon enough, and he's probably got a handful, four,
well,
five.
Well, that's your recruiting right there. You want to play at Modesto Christian? There's a really good chance college is going to be looking at you and you're going to play
go.
The next level.
There you go. There you
is
go.
That recruiting? I don't think it is.
No.
No. It's, I mean, if you want to play at the next level, you come here.
That's
if you
right.
don't come here.
That's why I'm saying earlier, you get accused of things, but, I mean, hey, it's what they've earned. They got 175 kids, eh?
Yeah, but if you, like I said, 175 Herschel Walkers, it's another story. We're going to catch up with Eric Solberg in the 5 o'clock hour, talk a little soccer, baseball. Got a lot of questions for him. And take your phone calls, 844-940 ESPN. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Zone
on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by 10 Tavern. Fashion furniture across from River Park, Helena Agra Enterprises, LLC, and by Blast and Brew.
One long hit to deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back, and it is. Get out the rye bread and the mustard this time, Grandma. It is a grand salami.
It's Friday, and you're in the zone from 10 Tavern. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the storm, man.
You
are in the zone.
Good afternoon. We're here at 10 Tavern, my favorite new place on the corner of Willow and Nice. It's hot. It's got the full bar. It's got tremendous food. They've got everything you'd want in a place, 10 Tavern. They've got the Pagmeter pasta, which is rigatoni with the sirloin, kind of a meatball. It's nothing like it.
You're the pasta expert.
I love it. I love the sauce.
And to be able to come in here in a short amount of time and already have a dish that's named after the Pagmeter is pretty impressive.
I really like it. That's why my favorite place. We're here at least once a week with the Papagni clan and possibly second time. So this is our meeting place now.
Well, you might be here even more what's coming up down the road that we'll maybe talk about in the next couple of weeks. I'll say it that. But there's going to be more to come and beyond what we're talking about with this wonderful happy hour and great menu overall, no matter what time of day you come here. And the bar is crowded right now, and there's people everywhere, and it's like this every time we've been here. So come on down to 10 Tavern, Willow and Nice, southeast corner. And experience what we're telling you live.
Literally on the corner of southeast corner. I'm taking your word on it because I'm not a GPSologist.
I'm going to go with it. Let's just call it this. Fresno's kind of a funny little town. It's about as close as you can get to northeast. For all you crazy GPS people, you might say, oh, it's a little bit this way, that way. If you were on that intersection, you would say you're at the southeast corner. I'll leave it at that.
I also want to thank Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC. If you're a farmer, you already know. You drive around the valley. You see Helena all over the place. If you're a farmer, if you have any questions why half your orchards are not looking like the other part of the orchards, they're going to have the answer for you. They're your guy. And just call them, 559-261-9030, and a professional will get a hold of you, and you'll get the answer.
Absolutely.
You need.
If you're listening to this show on a podcast and you happen to be in Texas or you're back in the Midwest, Helen is a national company that can serve your needs. So if you happen to catch us on the internet and you're listening to these guys talk about Helena, just call that number. And if you happen to be outside the state, we'll hook you up to whatever location best suits your geography, Nick.
And I don't know if this next guy has been here at 10 Tavern, but I know if he does, he's going to love this place. Eric Solberg, the head coach of the Fresno City Rams soccer team, and, of course, the pitching coach with Ron Scott at Fresno City. Mr. Eric, how are you today?
I have not been there, but I know.
That sounds really
well. You got to try it, Eric. What? Yeah, you got to try it, Eric.
Eric, you got to wake up, man. We're ready for you.
I know. I will be there shortly for sure.
So, Eric, let's talk baseball. Grant, fantastic. I know you had a great year for the Rams, but I want to talk a little baseball with you. One guy I want to talk with, I think one of the great, maybe the greatest athlete we've ever had in Valley history, Alec Gamboa, who was an all-state wrestler. He was a record holder and wide receiver from Madera, and, of course, an outstanding left-handed pitcher. Signed with the Dodgers. Let's talk about Gamboa. After he got healthy again, how special is this kid?
This guy's really good. And what, you know, I'm talking to him 2-3 times a week. He's pretty cool. He back the other night. He got his first strikeout. But his first 4 or 5 outings, they're really protecting his arm. You know, we watched it very closely, too. But they've got him, like, on a 25-pitch count down there. But he's off to a great start. I think he's only given up 1 hit, 4 or 5 outings. I think he may only have 2 official outings. But he's a real special kid, and I really loved working with him. He and I connected very well. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what he does, because, you know, in this era of guys throwing so hard, you know, his fastball's very good, but it's not crazy like some of these guys going. But he was up to 93 for us down the stretch. But his athleticism and his mental makeup is off the chart. And, you know, that's what I had told a number of scouts. And the most diligent scout on him was the Dodgers. That is Tom Kunis, a great pitching guy and friend. And he was all over Alec and loved him and really tried to sell us and Alec that, hey, not only we want him, but we're going to take care of him and we'll try and bring him along. You know, the way he brought along, but just a great athlete. One of the best athletes, only guy that I can really think off the top of my head that was like him athletically was Ossahina. Ossahina could hit better than Alec, but Alec was as good as athlete. You know, he great center fielder, could go get a ball, run, and then just got this crazy, enthusiastic attitude, but I sure hope he climbs the ladder.
Hey, Eric, Nick Anderson, question for you. For the, you know, Pags, you know, always says I'm a basketball guy and I've got no clue about anything, and so I'm going to act that way for a second. When you say the pitchers, you know, with the amount of talent that's out there today and the speed that these pitchers are throwing the ball, is that, is there a huge difference between the last 5-6 years on those athletes that are showing up now? Is it more common for that 100-mile-an-hour fastball, more out there, more people out there throwing balls like that today?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think that's why guys are breaking down more now. But, you know, we sometimes I forget about it sometimes. Cause I don't, you know, we don't get a lot of guys throwing in the low to mid-90s at the community college level. And so, you know, you go out and watch, you know, the Jensen kid for Fresno State, and you kind of go, holy cow, and then you turn the TV on, you see a lot of it. And there's still a place for a lot of guys going 88, 89 with breaking balls, but you're not getting looked at it professionally anymore. And so the question is, where is the ceiling on this? You know, where are we going, and can we go any further? And the one thing I think that we're seeing is, and I think I said this on the show before, but it's funny. I'm sure there's studies out there, but I haven't seen them. But we got these guys throwing so hard, but we basically have the same parts. You know, we have the same UCL ligaments, and we have the same rotator cuffs, and I think that's why guys are breaking down. And I was talking to a guy the other day about Jordan Brink, who's pitching somewhere in the Midwest. And he's got gun readings of, you know, 96, 97, and nobody's signing him. And it's just like, it's hard to imagine a guy throwing that hard and he's trying to get, you know, picked up off an independent team. But there are an abundance of arms out there, and I'm just curious where this is all going over the next 5 to 10 years.
We're talking with Eric Solberg, the the baseball pitching coach for the Fresno City Rams, and of course the head coach of the soccer team. Another kid I want to talk about, former Clovis Cougar, and your outstanding player who's heading to Arkansas, Chet Allison. And I would say if anyone's going to make it in the bigs, he's got the look. This kid is just coming on, and I don't think he's hit his full potential yet. Tell me about Chet Allison.
Well, great kid. I also have a nice relationship with him. We go back and forth joking quite a bit. I'd like to say I'm the one that developed him at City, but unfortunately, I've got to give that to the other coaches. He actually could have pitched more too. He could actually pitch pretty well. So just a kid that, you know, very good as a freshman, and then just out of nowhere, just blossomed. He lives in the weight room, so he's super strong. Got above average kind of everything. You know, and the one thing that people don't know about him or miss about him, he's not a good outfielder. He's a crazy good outfielder. I mean, he can go get a ball with the best of them. So it's just a matter of him hitting, and I think he's going to. As we saw him get to see better pitches as the further we advanced in the season, he didn't have any problem with that. He'll have to make some major adjustments at Arkansas because, you know, he's going to see different pitching. But, you know, good hitters hit, and I think he has really turned the corner. Great kid, and he can run. And you're talking about a guy with a look. You know, there is, kind of forget about it until you walk around some of the big league players that are in the MLB today, and they do have a different look. They're just different, also. Not always the middle infielders, but the rest of those guys. And Chet has that look. So I do know this, the Dodgers are going to make a late run on him. So and I think the last day to sign is coming up here. Sometime next week. I didn't even know that existed, but I think there is a deadline. I'd imagine, based on how much the Dodgers have spent already, that they may make a late run on him. And I'd like to see him go to Arkansas because I think it'd be a great experience, but, you know, signing a professional contract, always fun to do too.
Eric, can we switch gears to soccer?
Sure can. We're right upon it. Our summer class camp, it's a class, because we can't do anything outside of class time. It starts July 15th, as do a lot of colleges. We have about a 3.5 week run, and then school starts. And, you know, we're coming off back-to-back-to-back Final Four finishes. I like the team, four or five really good players returning, a number of good guys coming in. Although not an exuberant amount of players, but a good solid group of guys. And I'm really anxious to see how we put it together. We're going to be a little younger than we've been, but I love the offensive players I have coming in. And just got to figure out the defensive part of the ball.
Is that all local? A lot of local talent coming in, right? You consider your team pretty
it's
well
all
local.
Local. The one thing that I've got a couple international players that have reached out over the last 2 years, so I have a couple international players returning. But you know, the 25-man roster, you're looking at 20 to 22 local players. With Clovis Community College coming on board, you know, we've pushed this out into the area a little bit, so sometimes we are not as Fresno-based. Sometimes we have guys in the outlying areas coming in. I like our MVP, first-team All-American last year, Eduardo Seguro, is from Orange Cove. You know, so that's happening, and it's maybe, to be honest with you, maybe work harder.
Talking with Eric Solberg, the head coach of the Fresno City Rams soccer team. Eric, you know, you really, in high school-wise, boys soccer is the only sport we have that Division I can compete with Division VI. You just mentioned Orange Cove. You got Mendota and all the – you could might as well put everyone in the same division because soccer around here is becoming a It's just, it's off the charts, getting better and better. Do you see high school soccer being, wow, these guys can play now?
Yeah, it's the culture of the sport, and there's no question that the smaller schools can be as good as the bigger schools. And even if they're not, they certainly have, they might have two or three players better than the bigger schools. So it's hard, you know, so you have to find them. I think without a doubt, I know I get some pushback from some people, but I was talking about this with a coach from West Valley the other day. I think clearly on the men's side in community college athletics, soccer is the best sport in terms of talent level. And I think it's just because of the culture of the sport. You know, the Hispanic population of California, and there's just so many players. And I think it's the closest thing to Division I athletics at the community college level.
And I think Fresno State blundered getting rid of men's soccer.
I let me interrupt you on that, but I, you know, agree with you, Eric, on a, you know, Cal Poly, for example, over in, you know, well, the Cal Poly University in San Luis Obispo, really there should be just one, but that's the one. They've got a wonderful soccer program over there, men's and women's both, and they have a huge community support on that program. They fill that stadium over there for their games, especially against. So I agree on a local standpoint.
The women's coach I played with in high school, Alex Crozier, he's a Bullard guy. Went to play at Cal Poly, now he's the women's coach. And the men's coach is the former national team coach, L.A. Galaxy, Steve Sampson. We'll know him a little bit through which we inducted him into the California Hall of Fame, started at Foothill Junior College way back when. But, yeah, quality program. Santa Barbara's crazy over there, great. And obviously UCLA, Stanford, big programs. But, you know, we have a couple kids at Cal State Northridge, great team. You know, our national player of the year in 2017 is playing at Cal State Northridge. And I got a shot at getting the MLS draft this year. So there's just soccer is really good in California.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, that schools can't have, you know, it costs money to have sports. I get that, teams. But Nick's right. I mean, Fresno State, you know, not having that connection, you know, being where we're located and how popular soccer is and how you describe it on a community college, it's a shame that we can't have that, because I really think that we would actually put a lot of people would go to those matches.
I would guess it'd be second to football when it comes to attendance.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think well, you're right, because you one, talk to people.
At one time, at one time they both had their whole their attendance record, 10,000 or 11,000 people, largest crowd in NCAA history. You know, the guy that coached me growing up was Dr. Jose El Goriaga. He's the one that really built the program. And then it's just tragic that it went away, and the Title IX issues and all the things that kind of put that in wrestling out. Part of me, I get some guys maybe that I wouldn't get, you know, if they had the program. And the other part of me, boy, it's too bad. Maybe you should bring it back.
Great point. Talking with Eric Silver. Before I let you go, Eric, back to a little baseball. Chet Allison and even Christian Funk. When I talked to Christian Funk playing in Oklahoma State, he's saying, boy, Nick, the crowds, we get anywhere from 10 to 15,000 every game. Same thing with Arkansas, where I don't know if Fresno State, and we just mentioned soccer, would clearly dominate when it comes to attendance over baseball. Why? I mean, it's just amazing when you go in the South and watch baseball. It's just a religion back there. I love it. I don't know if we'll ever get that again here, but Chet Allison's going to love that Arkansas crowd.
No, it's a whole different world. You know, my son-in-law, you know, his character, he's been coaching up at Oregon, and they didn't renew George Horton's contract up there, so he's been kind of shopping around. I know it's already out there, so I can say it. He just accepted a job at Baylor University, and it's the same situation in terms of crowds and atmosphere. So he's going to be going from the Pac-12 to the Big 12, and the problem for us is now it's a 31-hour drive instead of 12. So we're going to have to hop on a plane and go to Waco, but we're excited for them.
Yeah. Well, Eric, thanks for joining us today. Happy 4th of July weekend. Hope everything's going great. And got to get you on when soccer time going on, because you're our regular guy. Especially when the ratings are up, we got to have Eric Solberg on.
Good soccer weekend. You got the women at 8 in the morning on Sunday. The men are playing in the Copa final against Mexico at 6 o'clock at night. And then there's a couple semifinal, third place games going on too. So it's a good soccer weekend. I'm going to come in and find you guys in a week. I'm gonna be kind of running around for a week, but I'm going to come in there and try some of this pasta, and we'll talk.
All right, Eric Solberg, take care.
Thanks, Eric,
for coming on. Let's take a break.
Thanks.
Plenty to talk about here at the Zone on the 10 Tavern, Willow and Nice.
On 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the Zone. Sponsored by Blast & Brew, fashion furniture across from River Park, Helena Agra Enterprises, and 10 Tavern with the Pag Meter and Big Cat Nick Anderson on 940 ESPN.
You
are in the Zone.
On a Friday afternoon, it's the Pag Meter. It's Nick Anderson here at 10 Tavern. They got the big TVs. They got great food. The place is starting to jam up.
There's Matty Boy walking by us here.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah, there
Matt,
he is.
How are you, sir?
You know, he's great because he gets to say hi to everyone when they walk in. His lovely wife, Amy, does the same thing. This is like family here.
That's the sign of a successful restaurant is when you can have the owners working as hard as they do. They're around. They're shaking hands. They're talking to people. They're actually saying hi to you, which is, you know.
Very rare.
That's true, but that's why you come back here so much. But what I'm saying by that is you got to reach out and you got to make your, you know, they get. You know, people coming back, you've got to, they want to make them feel good about coming back to the establishment. Besides the good food, service is huge here, and they spend so much time doing it. But, Nick, I'd go with the hot wings. If you're coming right now, the hot wings are off the charts. Come in, order the hot wings, grab yourself an adult beverage. Enjoy some of the summer league basketball that's on right now. We're also looking at getting ready for the Giants game coming up at 7 p.m.
Playing the world champion Cardinals.
Ooh.
I'll be there tomorrow. Gianna and I are going to be hitting the
But you're
San
on
Francisco.
Location, aren't you?
I'll be on location on tomorrow.
That's good.
Watch the Giant Cardinals. I got to see the Cardinals come in. I got to come.
That's
Even
your
though
team.
They're a typical 500 team this year, they got no chance, but still, you got to go see them.
The Redbirds are in town.
Yeah.
Pags is on the move.
It's America's
You're
team.
Actually going to go watch them play Oakland later on
yeah,
next month,
in
I
August,
think, right?
I believe. Yeah. Yeah, August will be there. Thanks to Helena. Thanks for taking care of the Pag Meter. And, you know, Eric Solberg mentioned, that we have soccer this weekend. I'm sorry, but I'm not rooting for the U.S. women. They don't like the United States. Well, I don't like them. Sorry.
Yeah, the entire team, or are you talking specifically about an individual?
No, there's a bunch of them on the team now. They're already talking. Why do they do that? I don't understand why people want to rag on the United States of America. Don't do it. Just like Kaepernick. And here's my question on the Nike thing. Okay, here's my problem. Okay, so let's say you got the board meeting. You got to sit around here. You got a board meeting. They're talking about the United States flag shoe that's coming out. Okay, when's the boat coming over here from China? It's done making this shoe yet? Yeah, it'll be coming, heading over in the big boat with the 100,000 shipment. It's coming over. We're getting ready. So, okay, let's start with California, then we'll push it east, and we'll get that shoe going. Wait, what? Colin Kaepernick's on lane two? Hold on, put him on. Yeah, Colin, what do you think? Yeah, man, I don't think, man, we should put that shoe on. Let's just let it go. I think it's bad for the United States. Okay, Colin talked. It's done. We don't want that shoe anymore. Are you kidding me, Nick? That's the guy they go to in the Nike for the corporation about a shoe? Or is this just a great marketing plan?
I think it's a marketing plan. I don't think so. I don't think they're going to just make decisions based off of an individual, regardless of, you know, what they're doing and how popular they are. But there's got to be more to it. Well, in most cases anymore, if you look at things, whether it be the, you know, Facebook or social media, you're getting a portion of the story, right? A portion of it. You refer to that as fake news is what, you know, people refer to that as. So there's always more than what you're hearing, seeing, and all that good stuff. So, yeah, no, he's not going to make that decision. Somebody else is making that decision, but he could be a good – that's good. Hey, trust me, it's all marketing.
It's all, everything's marketing.
They're getting free marketing.
Everything's marketing, absolutely. Yeah. And they're paying him a good coin, so to pay him the good coin, they're going to take full advantage of that opportunity.
I wouldn't have Kaepernick figure out my sprinklers at home. All right? That's the last guy I would talk about anything. If you go to Turlock, where he's from, they have disowned him. You can't even mention the name Kaepernick in the town of Turlock because they don't like him anymore. What does that tell you? When your hometown doesn't like you, put a fork in you. So, am I bitter? Yes,
yeah,
I am bitter.
You're very bitter.
Well,
that's
I'm
the new
sorry.
Pag meter. Is that the new Pag meter?
This coming up, I think I talked about it with Matt Johnson, and I'm going to talk about it with Nick Anderson. We're really the only shows left that have a really debate show where a lot of the local media, they the final score was this. Let's bring on, this. There's no debate. There's no hot topics. I'm going completely in. And you either love me, I love it. You either can hate me, I love it. Or we can banter. Yeah, I love it. I'm going for it. And I think it's time we do that. We need some more of that.
Well, I think everybody's got an opinion on things, but I think you're willing to, what you're saying is you're willing to have a conversation with somebody about whatever it is you believe in, and I think it's fair. Everybody should have, free speech. You do it the right way, but it's not like you're hiding from what you believe in, and that's who you are, and there's, that's just the way things go. And so I agree with you. I think that I say, besides getting into this thing and digging into it deep, it's a country thing. I just would never, ever, I'm not even worried about whether or not the country thing is an issue or has something to do with the president or not. I'm always going to support the country. And I think that's what your main thing is, Nick, is that you're just patriotic individual that believes in the United States of America, and that's what's bothering you more than anything.
My country comes first, and we should be all on the same team. And I just don't understand why people would rag, start coming, and say, well, I'm not coming to the White House. I don't care. Okay. I don't care who's president. I don't care if I like him or not. If I'm invited to the White House with all the history, I'm going.
Well,
all right?
It's a privilege, right? I mean, it's like if you pay money to do tours of the White House and you get to go and actually hang out with the President of the United States.
Yeah.
I get you. My job is to talk you off the cliff. You've been bothered by that the last few days, and I think Matty J does the same thing. We try to offer vanilla side of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not vanilla.
You're fudge.
I'm a hot fudge sundae.
Yes, sir.
And you're getting to be hot fudge sundae. You're a lot more hot fudge off the air, but I'm going to get you to be hot fudge on the air. So I just want to let you know. We're here at 10 Tavern, and we're having some fun July the 5th. I hope everyone had a great Thursday. I got to go to Kerman, Nick, on Wednesday, the day before 4th of July, and what a place that was in Kerman. And the whole town came out, block parties, something else, and they had all the fireworks inside Kerman, the high school.
Well, that's an event out there. You always talk about those smaller towns and what those smaller towns offer, and you get out there and promote, what's going on, and you also talked about whether it be the fireworks, fireworks stands, all those things that people that you're doing beyond, right, to try to support those local teams and their efforts to fundraise beyond the show itself, but the actual fundraising that goes on in those hot booths that we all have been in before. If we've done any fundraising at all for our kids in the past, we've all been there. So,
have you done that?
I did it last year. I didn't do it this year. I did it last year.
I give props to all the parents that sit in those fireworks stands.
Like me?
Yeah. I did it when Gianna was in 7th grade back in the day.
My question is, are you making any money, or is the firework guys making all the money? I don't know the answer to that, but
I'm hoping they did.
Well, I'm just going to go on a limb and say, if you're not making any money, why would you keep doing it? And it seems like everybody's wanting to get one of those fireworks booths in order to do some fundraising. It's hard work. You got to be out there dealing with the heat. There's no air conditioning in there in those little wooden booths they put up in the parking lot with that asphalt. Yeah. In most cases in Fresno, it's a tough job, but it's a few days. It lasts a few days, and I think it does a good job for the programs and supporting. And anymore, you've got to do, in order to try to get your team to go outside the area and play and travel, you've got to come up with a great fundraising program, and that's one of them.
My cousin, Gino DeBudio, back in the day, he was his summer job was to put together those booths and going all over the place. That's not easy. Because you have to build that little guy.
Well, it's all there, ready to go, but you still got to tack it up, tear it down, then you got to go back and tear it down, right?
So that's a procedure. That's another program that they've got to be making some money on both sides of it. But I'm hoping your team, your school, made some money, because fundraising anymore is the name of the game, Nick, in any sport. You know as well as I do, the smaller schools maybe don't make as much money as the bigger school, or vice versa. But, God, I wish them all the best.
Yeah, tournaments, stuff, you know, I mean, it's a lot of work that goes into that. Yeah. You know, you got to ref, you got to do the gate, you got to schedule the teams, and you got to communicate. And but at the end of the day, when it's all over with, you talk to some of these coaches that puts in the time. Those are generally the coaches that have the successful programs, Nick, that are actually putting the time in, which they would call their summertime. The ones that aren't putting the time in and they're relying on other things to happen for them, more than likely they're probably not going to be as successful.
High school football officially going to be starting soon at the end of the month. It's amazing. It just gets earlier and earlier. And
what's it going to be, 116?
Well, right now, God, the weather's nice. Like I said, I think everyone's bracing for that 108-degree weather coming up for a whole week, but maybe we won't get it this year, knock on wood.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, I don't know, last time we didn't have that, but I don't think we're going to have, you know, those days. Last year we even had, you know, 30 consecutive days or 20 consecutive days in a row with triple digits, and that becomes an issue. You know, the football teams having to train and weightlift and do all the things that they do, it puts a burden on them, you know, to get out and do some cardio. So they're out there. I see these schools. I drive by them in the mornings, and you go to the gym in the mornings, and most of these kids, these cross-country kids that are out there training, I mean, they're doing it, you know, as soon as the sun's up and they can see where it's safe to get out and start running. I see them doing, you know, working out at Woodward Park, running the hills over there, and it's that's the time of day to do it. And they go back and they do it again, you know. They do 2 days, 3 days. It's all over the board. And to start up all of a sudden in August, to me, that's tough, you know, because it's so hot out. Is that going to promote more injury, Nick, early on? I mean, those are the kind of things you got to look at a little bit, right?
Some numbers are down. We know Edison's numbers are down. I know Bullard is only putting together one team.
Wow.
So they're freshman and JV together. I kind of like that idea. There's other schools like Carruthers have some. Brandon Ward up there, the head coach, says, I got to get more gear. We got more kids. We got 85-plus coming out.
Okay, so why is that? Is that solely because of numbers? It's not numbers out there, I can tell you that. So schools with higher population are struggling to put, like let's say last year, there was a couple of Clovis schools that had a small amount of kids on the football team. It goes back to what you've talked about the last couple of years, and that's that safety deal that we bring up with, you know, helmets and heads.
Well, we slowly live in a softer society, Nick, and then a lot of mommies and daddies don't want little Johnny to play football anymore, and so they're not playing. And it's unfortunate that mommies and daddies hear in the fake news that football's not safe anymore, but football's safer than ever at this point. I mean, the way the coaches are teaching properly how to hit, they're teaching like rugby style, less head-on-head. They're teaching. But, again, mommy and daddy, they hear it from the far left guys saying, oh, you better not play. It's a dangerous sport. Everyone's going to get a concussion. It just drives me crazy.
So did mommy or did daddy play football? Or do you think
daddy never played football, barely probably didn't play a sport. And so he's trying to raise an athlete in the family. And mommy doesn't understand why they have to win wind sprints after practice, because, you know, Johnny's still got to come home and take his bubble bath and do his homework and maybe play video games. It's just a whole new world, Nick. Nick,
gotta go grab some Chick-fil-A when you get home, though.
Whatever it is. Hey, Hoover High School's looking for some coaches, guys. They've opened, and they're looking for a head golf coach, boys tennis, boys volleyball. I know Mr. Duckworth is now the head coach of Sunnyside girls basketball. Leader in the clubhouse. It's not confirmed yet, but leader in the clubhouse for the new head coach for the Clovis baseball team could be Chris Patrick. It's a long way to go, but I think he's a leader in the clubhouse.
Really?
James' son. So keep
he's
an eye on that.
And he's the former Clovis North coach.
And he coached this year as the assistant coach out there. So
you keep the...
That's my guess. That's who I would endorse for the job. I'm not saying he's going to get it, but I'm endorsing that.
You got a lot of tradition there. He played baseball there. He's assistant coach. He also coached in the Clovis Unified system. And as you know as well as I do, Clovis Unified loves to hire within. And especially if your last name happens to be Patrick, you've been pretty darn...
Whoa!
Been successful with, on the baseball side of things. So, hard-working family, put a lot of time into Clovis Unified, and it'd be great to see that tradition continue.
We're going to try to catch up with Jervis Cole today, the new head coach of the Edison Tigers. But he could not make it today, so we will catch up with Jervis. Don't think we're going to have a show next week because of the Giant baseball. We might have to do a double show one of these Fridays. But we'll catch up with Jervis. He's a new head coach. How do you think he's going to do it, Edison?
So before we get to that, let me ask you this. You
said, I didn't tell you that, did I?
Well, you did. No, double show, though. Double show.
Well, we're
going 4 hours here.
We might do a four-hour. We don't know yet.
I get
we
to
might
spend 4 hours with you in one city?
Could be. We'll have to make it a football pregame show. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm going to have to read up on some soccer things or something here. Huh?
Well, football coming up.
Okay. Man.
Yeah.
What, how do you spell that?
What I would like to do is get a lot of coaches as guests if they have time, but we'll see.
Well, we got to bring on. I mean, we've got some new coaches out there that I'd love to get on that is taking over programs out there, and it'd be nice to kind of see where they're at and get
like
a little,
who?
I just say, well, you know, Clovis West has a new coach.
Yeah.
And that's brand new. George
Jim Randall.
Petrasange is an assistant coach.
Yeah.
At
Coach
Clovis
Jaycock
North.
Is out at Clovis North with Big George, the Bear.
So why don't we do like a, what do you guys think out there? I mean, maybe we'll get a little panel on here and we'll have a few coaches come on and call in, and so we can get enough of them and do a little roundtable discussion in terms of high school football preview.
I would love that. If you want to see, I have my real early PAG meter rankings out right now. You can go thepagmeter.com, click on football, and then the more information I get on your football team, which is so early yet, so don't get excited if you're ranked 14th or something. You can move up once I go watch you prep. Practice. Look at this. Matt's bringing some food over.
What if they feed you, though?
Oh.
What if you feed you? If they feed you, do you go out there faster? So
heck yeah. Food, okay. Food is important. Also, my PAG Meter All-Star Baseball and Softball team is out, so you can go to the PAG Meter. Take a look at that. My Player of the Year for baseball is Darian Miller from the Clovis Cougars. My Girls Softball Player of the Year is Cindy Kuma from the Washington Union
Perfect.
Panthers.
Spot on, Nick.
So,
spot on.
I mean, come on. That's how we roll. Let's take a quick break. Come back and talk about what Matt just put in front of us. We're on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Blast & Brew. Fashion furniture across from River Park, Helena Agri Enterprises, and 10 Tavern. With the PAG Meter and Big Cat Nick Anderson on 940 ESPN.
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon here at 10 Tavern on the corner of Willow and Nice. Coming up after this show, Nick, in a little while, the world champion Cardinals will take on the Giants San Francisco.
The Gigantes. And Fuego.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do. But here we're at 10 Tavern. And
they had a heck of a series here recently with the Padres.
They're hitting the ball.
Arizona,
they're pitching right
before
now.
That. And they're hitting the ball, and it's fun to watch them. I know it's people with Arizona, but, man, there's some good things going on. If they can carry that momentum and play in the Redbirds here, Nick, it should be a pretty fun series.
It'll
up
be
there.
Fun. It's just a great way to get to the city. Matt just brought over this Southern, I guess it's a Southern fried chicken sandwich.
Southern fried chicken sandwich. It's got some pickles on it and some coleslaw below that.
With fries.
The fries are, that's another piece there that, you know, you forget about. Fries are important. You know, people can serve fries, but serving good fries, you don't find that everywhere. And these fries here are what Nick and I would refer to as giddy up. And
no question
this
about
combination
it.
Here is wonderful. So we're trying that. Come on down. You can order that, too, and you can enjoy the show and the atmosphere live. And I wouldn't be any other place if I was looking for a place to spend some time with my family this evening.
And it's quick. It's right on the corner of Willow and Nice, 10 Tavern. I like this, and Matt said it perfectly. Not Matt Johnson, of course, the owner here from 10 Tavern. He goes, hey, if I don't get him something else, Pagmeter's only going to get the pasta.
He's right.
When I go to a restaurant, are you like me? Do you try new things? And I don't want to be disappointed. This I'd get because now I tried it. But I go to a restaurant and I get the same thing because I know what I like.
I've seen that, been plenty of meals with you before, and I've witnessed that firsthand where you order different things. Depends on where you are. I've been to this place, and you order that. You've been to that place, you order that. There's a certain place you order chicken fried steak, and I know exactly where that is. So I know if I go there with you, you don't even look at the menu. You just go out and do your thing.
Yeah, I don't really look at menus anymore.
Oh, you're too smart. You don't need to worry about that.
That's unbelievable. It's the PAG Meter, Nick Anderson here at 10 Tavern. And 4th of July weekend, it's a lot of people. It was a four-day weekend, wasn't it?
And we're here in Fresno. And it was. It's funny today, though. You know, a lot of people were out
working today just because it fell on a Thursday. And so getting on a Friday, it almost feels like Friday was the new Monday this week anyway. So a lot of people are kind of struggling to get things moving along. But, yeah, it's weekend tomorrow, starts up tonight, and kind of extend that 4th of July experience into the weekend, which the temperatures are going to be nice out there. You taking off for the Bay Area. I'm out of here, too, for a little basketball on Sunday and a location for the next few weeks, Nick. So I'm going to be, even though we're going to have some conflicts with the Giants games coming up on the show, I will be away from the show for a few weeks on location doing some reporting and some things that I'll report back on when I get back.
Yeah, I don't believe we're going to have a show next week, but the following week we will be at Blast and Brew, and it'll be a big show because the pole vaulting comes to town. And I'm excited. I've never seen a real-life professional pole vaulting championship downtown Clovis.
And that's right where we are, Blast and Brew, and where we normally are when we're able to have when the show's going. And that's an event that I say it's kind of a showcased event now that it's known, well, nationally now. And people,
yeah.
I mean, it's become that to where you get these pole vaulters. And, boy, it's a fun event. I mean, you go to track meets and things. You watch the state meet here locally, and you see some of these track and field people, but the pole vault's an exciting event. It's just fun to watch them. It takes so much skill, Nick, to get up and get above that bar. So it's going to be a fun one to go to.
Do you think, because I do know Clovis downtown, is that old town Clovis is one of the best. I would put that up with anywhere in the United States. It's so nice. It's clean, great people. Can Fresno ever get to that? You be honest, Nick, be honest with us. Can we?
They struggle. I don't know what it is. It's just struggling. Yeah, Clovis had, I walked, after the show last week, I had my girls with me and my son and my wife, and we went down and walked around and bought some, vegetables and produce and things, and that was wonderful to see everybody selling things down there that they've grown or have access to, and it just was a good event. They had live music, so they had in the sections that have live music, people down there with their chairs and enjoying it. It's that old town feel that you get, and Clovis has done a good job in keeping that going, and keeping that, part of the culture that they continue to want to promote.
So what do you say? Fresno can't get to that ever?
It's just, Fresno's big. It's just got a lot of different areas, and it's tough to bring everything to one over there. And, I see a lot of young families, and I was just walking around. I feel like an older individual just because I was, I don't know why. Maybe I am old. I don't know. I just felt like I was a little bit older than what I saw out there, the average was. And it was fun to see a lot of the young families enjoying Farmers Market. It was fun to watch that.
I think it would be fun to get rid of the parking meters downtown Fresno and let people come downtown to enjoy themselves.
Well, you can help Cole out. He's got a $40 ticket.
Well, I got a $33 ticket.
Yeah.
And it was still green, but I'm not going to argue. I'll pay the ticket. And I'm not going to endorse Fresno downtown. They had Miss California last weekend. My wife was part of it. She's helping out with one of the girls dancing, and she was part of the whole thing, but I watched the Saturday night. We had to watch for a little while because, like I said, her friend was in it. She made it in the top eight, and we were excited. But Fresno, Miss California, is not like it used to be. Let's just sort it out there. But Mayor Brand was walking downtown with one of last year's winner, and it was not a good spot, Fresno. If you're going to promote downtown, don't have homeless behind you with everything boarded up. Got to make it more attractive. You'd be by a waterfall or something. But so it wasn't a good look.
They were just showing whatever they happened to be by, and that's where they were.
Yeah, it was horrible. It wasn't good.
Yeah, there's certain times, certain things. But, that's not good at all. But I was talking to somebody today about the parking downtown. And, again, you go down there, and if you go down, let's say there's a restaurant down there, and you want to go to that restaurant or whatever, and you're a younger person and you don't want to spend $5 or $6 on parking, but you want to go to the restaurant. So if it's a business owner downtown, it'd be nice to figure out how to get through a certain parts of the day. Is there a certain way to get around it? I don't know. But nowhere else, nobody else charges for parking anywhere in town. So why would I want to go drive all the way down there, pay for parking, and then have to deal with what you just described?
Well, I think the answer would be no, you don't want to deal with it. So you'll go somewhere else.
True.
Speaking of the Giants, it's coming up to the All-Star break, and you see big star Bryce Bryce Harper's not in the All-Star game. Manny Machado's not in the All-Star game. Also Buster Posey. They haven't had good years. And I like that. If you're not having a good year, you're not going because of your name.
And
right?
A lot of times that happens, right? There's been like, let's say, what was the one in basketball? This Klay Thompson or something,
yeah.
Right? And there was an issue there. Is it a popularity contest or is it based on skill? That's what you're referring to, right? And you get some of these guys that are doing this, they're media guys, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So they maybe don't like the guy because he didn't do an interview with him or something like that, so they end up not voting for him.
It's going to be interesting now. The Giants have to make some moves now. They're not going anywhere. They won't go anywhere the next 10 years the way they're looking. So are they going to get rid of we had J.D. Sales on last week. He said get rid of the bullpen. Start Baumgartner's got to go. What do you do with this team? Because you got to build for the future. Because if starting the next year right now, they would finish in last place again. They got nothing.
I see a lot of new faces watching the games the last couple of days. And they had a day off yesterday, I believe. But I did watch the games in San Diego. And, there was a lot of newness to what. And I hadn't watched it every time they're on, but I did see a lot of newness, so there is some movement going on within Nick that maybe we're not hearing about every day, but there are, different faces are coming in. And some of these guys are doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, well, they're playing. They're really trying out to see what the future is. Do we want to trade you now,
yep,
or you got potential? And so Giants got a lot of decisions to make. They're coming on later on 940 ESPN. They're taking on the world champion Cardinals. And we'll see how it goes. Nick, great show again.
What world is that, by the way? I missed the World Series.
They won. They're second to the Yankees, the most World Series ever.
But you just said World Series champion.
I don't know. I just throw that out
okay,
there.
All right.
Everyone's already slam dunked the Dodgers are going to win the World Series.
No way.
I want to thank Joey over here for setting up everything. Russ back in the studio. Have a great 4th of July weekend, everyone. Thanks to Nick Anderson, Helen Agra Enterprises, LLC.
My pleasure.
We will see you next week. I don't know if we're going to have a show, but Rise Show for sure. Have a great afternoon, everybody. You've been listening to 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
And as Matt says,
get in the game.